Hello and welcome to our new arc of Just Roll With It, the bi-weekly anthology actual play podcast, where we finally get to all the games we've been dying to play and just haven't had a chance to. Today, we'll be playing I Have the High Ground, which is a game about the escalation of tension between two characters before someone finally snaps and the gauntlet is thrown. Before any damage is done, before a blow is even struck, it's a game of wit and tension and posturing rather than fighting. GM-less, genre neutral. It takes apparently about an hour or two to play, but knowing us, it'll take forever. And yeah, I'm really excited to play this because Kelsey and I both saw this being talked about for first at Rainbow Roll Fest, right?
I think so. I might have seen it on Twitter before that, but that was like the first time I really got a lot of more in-depth discussion of it.
Yeah, they were discussing it for the Party of One block.
Party of One?
Yeah, Party of One, the actual play podcast that's focused on two-player games.
Yeah, I think it's all two-player games.
Yeah, and Jess Levine, the creator of the game, saw Kelsey and I in the chat during the live stream and got really excited about how excited we were. And she reached out to us to play the game for our podcast. So a huge thank you to Jess for the copies of the game, especially since this game is kind of perfect for us.
Kelsey and I both have a love of dueling and that sort of like rivals to lovers, enemies to whatever. Mm-hmm.
Friends that are just butting heads over petty things.
Uh-huh.
Quote, like, side-eyes our original masks characters.
When you put two stubborn femmes in a room together and they're both kind of a little bit type A, they're gonna butt heads just a little bit.
Yep. Especially when they are both already on the fencing team and they have an excuse to pull out the swords.
Oh gosh. We could play Miranda and Mackenzie for this.
We could.
That would be... I think that would take some of the romance or the sexual tension at least out.
It probably would, because, yeah, they are very much not into mm-hmm. each other like that. They are exactly. just best friends.
And while this game doesn't have to be erotic or have UST or anything like that, or be remotely romantic, it can be any kind of relationship between the two characters. I think that the innate homoeroticism of a duel is something I can't really ignore. I don't know about you.
I mean, I could, but I don't necessarily want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like if you've listened to almost any other episode of this podcast, that is kind of her. That's kind of her style.
Yeah, the number of times we've played Firebrands or Firebrands hack and gotten into meeting sword to sword, meeting sword to spell, traded barbs.
Mm-hmm.
Gotten excited.
Or like, if you listened to our Good Society arc, there was some dueling there.
Mm-hmm.
And even like, without the dueling, like, we are very into romantic subtext or actual text in most of our games.
So we'll call that a green light then. Go on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a mechanically light game, so it's going to be a lot different than Firebrands, especially since this is all about the tension leading up to the battle. The moves are inspired by competitive fencing, so each round, once we actually get into the rounds, we choose thrust, feint, or parry in secret. Sort of like a rock, paper, scissors triangle, like rock, paper, scissors, shoot, we'll show each other what we chose at the same moment. And thrust beats, gosh, how does it go again? Thrust beats feint, feint beats parry, and parry beats thrust. But once per game, we can choose to completely disrespect the other person by doing a penalty move instead, in which case there's a role involved and consequences as to whether you fail or succeed that role. High risk, high reward. So let's get into this collaborative, dramatic, homoerotic little swordplay game. Oh, and it doesn't all have to be swordplay either. I did want to mention this can be used to simulate any sort of like dramatic like escalation and tension. The examples I have the high ground it gives is now, of course, the eponymous Jedi, hackers trying to exploit their way into control of a contested server, murderer and an aggrieved loved one, assassins, ex-girlfriends, boxing match, a bar fight, a school talent show, anything where two people are going head to head and like throwing pithy one-liners at each other before the actual clash starts. We can use this game to simulate. So yeah, I'm excited to play.
I just say that I love that name so much.
Shall we get into it?
Yes.
Okay. So the first thing we have to decide is the background. The process of creating the background is, of course, collaborative between the two of us. We're encouraged to offer ways to counterpose our characters and intertwine our backstories. This is kind of a conversation between the two of us. It doesn't have to be, but I think that's how we work best. Mm-hmm. And background, I think we start with genre. Are there any particular genres that are pulling at you right now, Kelsey?
I'm not sure. Do you have any?
My brain immediately goes to urban fantasy, but that's where my brain always goes.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since right now I'm watching Unsleeping City and I'm running a Urban Shadows game.
I mean, my brain answering either that way or like the other way being that we're also watching A Court of Fae and Flowers right now.
We could do some fairy bullshit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm always here for fairy bullshit.
Okay. So, definitely fantasy. Are we thinking urban fantasy? Are we thinking, like, in the fae courts themselves, like, in fairy?
Oh, gosh. My first thought is in the fae courts, but I'm fine with either.
Let's do the fae courts, then. Let's do it. That way we can, like, it's fairy, it's a bit, chaotic, and we can twist things to our liking, I think.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fae court bullshit. Absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we choose the stakes of our duel. The stakes describe the consequences of the battle, which will follow your duel of wit and posture, and assists you as players in setting the gravity of the situation. Stakes are broken down into three broad categories, each named for a different weight of weapon in competitive fencing. The foil is low stakes, like a public fencing match between rivals, a championship boxing match, a bar fight. The battle following this duel ends with both parties walking away alive, and no one else will die as a consequence of the outcome. A duel may be a matter of pride, but pride is not a small feeling, and these duels are just as intense and intimate as any other. Saber is the meaningful stakes, the medium one, a duel between knights, which determines the fate of their lords, a quest for mortal vengeance in the name of a slain lover, or a desperate melee between foot soldiers in the trenches of a larger fight. The battle following this duel is likely to be lethal, either for the participant or those they fight for. And finally, towering stakes, the epi. Okay. A melee between opposing generals, a Jedi and a Sith clashing lightsabers amidst a ground battle, or two hackers vying for control of a life support system. The battle following this duel will be lethal either for the participant or those they are fighting to protect or both. In fact, entire battles might be won or lost on the outcome of this fight. So, what are we thinking? Our entire city is going to fall? Or is this merely to settle an argument or to settle a satisfaction?
I mean, I'm definitely leaning more like petty fae bullshit, but
mm-hmm. I just finished War for the Oaks, which actually ended in a music duel between the main character and the Unseelie Court.
Ooh.
And that was for the fate of an entire city.
Damn. Might have to read that.
Absolutely recommend War for the Oaks. It's one of the first examples of like modern urban fantasy. Brilliant. One of my favorite novels. I've read it like 4 or 5 times. But yeah, I'm good with foil stakes if you are.
Yeah.
All right. So what is the drama then? Like, somebody stood, like, or do we decide that after a character, you think?
It might be easier after we figured out the characters.
Oh, no, wait, exposition comes after history and descriptors. Okay. There's a proper procedure I am stomping all over.
You are doing fine.
All right, so we've decided foil stakes, low stakes. Nobody is going to die today, probably.
Probably.
History is next. Who are your characters to each other? This is likely the first time you'll be establishing concrete backstory for your characters, and it's okay to move forward, then revisit this question to add or change an option. However, it's recommended to make at least one selection up front, as this will help narrow the vision of your character's relationships and provide a jumping-off point from which to establish details. This is the chance to pitch ideas. So we choose one or two options: betrayal, former allies, rivals, unrequited love, arch-nemesis, ex-lovers, revenge, mentor-mentee, stranger on the battlefield, mutual respect, or unrequited respect. What are we thinking? I can see ex-lovers or something.
Mm-hmm. I can see that too.
Ex-lovers. Has there been a betrayal, or what has caused this? Like petty betrayal?
Yeah, I could see something like petty. I could see something like that.
I'm trying to figure out how to put something into words. Like,
words are hard. I feel like that needs to be a catchphrase of this show.
Words are a nebulous and mercurial thing, difficult to get your hands around sometimes. Very slippery. So ex-lovers, I assume fairly intimate, probably at one point very in love, not just, you know, like one night stand kind of thing. So like a betrayal makes sense?
I think so.
All right, descriptors. This is how we establish personalities and aesthetics. They will ensure our characters have similarities while setting up them as foils to one another. We are to select one pair of opposites to describe our characters, an individual descriptor that both of us have, and like another two or three descriptors to sort of like finish rounding out this character. So, do we want to start with our opposing adjectives?
I think that makes sense.
Okay. Somehow this is worse than trying to figure out three attractive qualities for your Firebrand's character.
Yes.
Because usually in Firebrand's I like have the character, like at least the image in my brain, and I've got nothing right now.
Also, I am just not good at decisions.
Decisions are annoying.
This podcast is too generally bisexual and non-binary for decisions.
Yeah, when you've got a bunch of bisexual, non-binary people.
Also a bunch of neurodivergent people.
Yeah, right. Making decisions is not our strong suit. I've never made a decision in my life, and I don't intend to start now. Flamboyant versus subtle is nice, I think. Vengeful versus forgiving might not work here, since we're both kind of vengeful in order to make this happen. Unless one of us doesn't want to be doing this, which could be interesting.
It could be.
Impulsive versus tactical. Quick versus measured. Earnest versus ironic. Cruel versus empathetic. Guarded versus an open book is a good one, I think. Brutish versus cunning probably doesn't work if we're both fey. Careful versus reckless. Articulate versus quiet. I don't know. Do any of those grab you?
Oh, gosh. God, so many of them are good.
We only have to pick one that gives us opposites for our characters right now. We can also pick. We can always pick more.
I know. True.
If there is one that's like, or if you're between a couple, I could see earnest versus ironic.
I could too, honestly.
Does that one fit, you think?
I think it could.
Do you want to be earnest or ironic? I feel like you might lend better to earnest, but if you want to play against type today.
I feel like earnest tends to be my my style. I don't know if I have the current amount of brain cells to go against type at the moment.
Entirely fair. I can be ironic. I can play Alanis Morissette in the background.
Alanis, you are a Canadian icon, but that song bothers me.
It has like two actually ironic things
in the whole song. And I know, like, calling out how it's not ironic is such an overdone thing, but like my brain, like, I love Alanis Morissette, she's a Canadian icon, but oh my god, my brain does not like that one.
I do not blame you. Okay, so we've picked our opposite descriptors. Now we have to pick an individual descriptor that both of us share. Oh gosh. Are we both articulate? Are we both debonair? Are we both flamboyant? Are we both passionate?
I could see passionate.
Passionate, I like that. You very earnest with it, me hiding it or, you know, pretending it's I'm only doing it as, you know, irony, a bit of irony.
Imagine having actual feelings.
Feelings are for nerds. I have three emotions and you don't get to have any of them. And one of them is hungry. Ironic and passionate. Okay. Then individually pick two or three other individual descriptors that round out your character, are true about your character. Okay. I think I'm guarded. I think I'm flamboyant. And I think I'm articulate. Which is probably a lot to ask of myself right now. But you know what? We're going to push ourselves. All right, Kelsey, what other adjectives are you thinking?
Okay. Thinking... I feel like some of mine are still going to end up being on the opposite of yours, being by complete accident.
Hey, all the better for a foil, right?
So yeah, I was thinking subtle for at least one of them. As subtle in relative terms, because fey, but...
Subtle's a great fey word.
So I was thinking quiet... And then, I know I was thinking of a third one, and now it's suddenly, poof, not in the brain.
Well, it says 2 to 3, so if you don't want to find another one, that's also valid.
I know. I think maybe empathetic.
Empathetic. Very nice. Exposition. What brings the two of us to this particular battlefield? This is where the series of events leading up to this particular duel are settled, though events may shift later. In the process of establishing these events, the backstory between your characters might also become more clearly defined. Here, you decide that your fugitive character has finally been located by their opponent, a bounty hunter. You might have already decided that you're opposing generals, but here you conclude that your characters chose to duel in place of a larger battle, and begin play by departing from your respective legions to approach each other alone. Okay, so what brings us together here today? It is not a marriage.
Nope.
There has been some insult. Have I insulted you, or have you insulted me? Who brought out the kid skin glove to slap the other person across the face? Because I can see it going either way. Like, if it was like some petty insult, I'm flamboyant. If you did it in front of, like, a bunch of people, or if I, like, perceived something as an insult, I would probably call you out. But if, like, it was something more insidious, or, like, if I did something to actually harm you or something, I could also see you calling me out. What do you think sounds more fun? Yes, I'm making you make decisions.
No, this is bullying.
I refuse to do all of them.
I haven't made made you do all of them? Who made you do most of them?
Oh, I only had to do most of the ones.
No, I said I haven't even made you do most of them. I don't think I have anyway.
No, you haven't.
Gosh, which of those would be more interesting?
Do you want to have Call the Duel, or do you want me to have? Because I think that will inform.
Yeah, fair. Maybe you have.
Okay. I called you out to the dueling grounds. I assume that this is like a proper procedural type duel. Or, no, I mean, because this is leading up to a fight. So maybe this is the moments, like, I'm seeing a fey party. Mm-hmm. Like, are we in the same court?
That's a good question.
So it could be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, you think it would be more interesting if we're in different ones?
That would definitely, I think, add an element of tension if our courts were different.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, now we have to go into the court structure of our fairies. Do you want to just do summer, winter, sealy, unsealy?
I'm good with that.
Okay. With me being ironic, passionate, guarded, flamboyant, articulate, I can honestly go either way, but I can see unsealy if you want to be sealy.
Sure.
All right. Unsealy court. Courtier to the Queen of Air and Darkness herself. Probably a knight of some kind. Not the anything, but a. Okay. So you're of the Sealy court. We are ex-lovers.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's never been complicated or anything.
Uh-huh. Absolutely nothing complicated about this. I haven't for fun.
Not at all.
So let's say it's midsummer.
Mm-hmm.
Longest day. It is the day where power changes hands from the Sealy to the Unsealy. As the days grow shorter and nights grow longer. And the Holly King takes his crown. It's a night of truce. Generally speaking, no one is allowed to kill each other or draw blood or anything like that, except in prescribed patterns. And a duel is one of those prescribed patterns. It's been a night of, obviously, debauchery because Faye.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing, music, feasting, bonfire is lit. Did I just see you dancing with somebody that else in my court? Somebody close to me, maybe?
I think that could work.
Okay. We've been, like, probably cool to each other all evening. Do you know you've offered me insult? By whatever you've done? Was it done calculated? Or am I reading an insult that wasn't intended?
I don't think it was. I feel like it's a case of, like, you are reading one that was not intended, but I am also not surprised that you took it that way anyway.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, you were talking to, I think, one of my rivals in the Unsealy court. Maybe just a little bit too intimately. I, of course, have not been staring at you across the ball all night. And there are absolutely no feelings left.
Of course not.
Clearly you're helping somebody in the court who is definitely a traitor and also, oh yeah, that's definitely like one of my justifications for it is this person is feeding you information. You're co-opting somebody of my court with your wicked, sealy ways. You must be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you feel like we have enough fleshed out there? Or is there anything else you want finer points on?
I think that's a good starting point.
All right. So now, the environment. Where does this take place? Choose one adjective from three different or statements to describe the environment of your duel.
So we have dangerous or secure, chaotic or serene, precarious or stable, surrounded or isolated, cramped or spacious, dim or bright, boiling or freezing, dilapidated or pristine, ancient or state-of-the-art, still or windy.
I assume we can pick from more if something else takes our attention.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're probably surrounded. This happened at fucking Midsummer Party, so
mm-hmm.
nobody's gonna, like, give us space or let us have this argument, duel, exchange of wits in a isolated spot.
No. I feel like also given that it's midsummer, it's probably bright.
Yeah. The sun hasn't set yet. I like that. Longest night of the year. Longest day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Bright. I guess I want to say ancient, but not in, like, a dilapidated way. Mm-hmm. In a way of this is a, like, castle, hall, demnazine, I can't say that word, that has existed for centuries and will continue to exist for centuries more
mm-hmm.
in someone's she. Do you want to add a second one just so it's fair, or?
Yeah, we want to add a fourth one, maybe.
If you can't think of anything, that's okay too.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. I think I'm good with those ones.
All right. And now to the fun part. Our characters. Mm-hmm. Description of the characters are up to us. The mechanics of I Have the High Ground character creation require you to create characters simultaneously and interactively to ensure interesting similarities and differences between them. We start with a cape.
Very important.
Oh, so important. Are you wearing a cape? And if so, what does it look like? Players reserve the right to answer in secret, as their cape choices will affect who picks first advantage on page 10 and who receives priority on the first turn. We can agree to discuss our capes beforehand. If a player opts to wear a cape, they must describe it in detail. Do you want to keep this secret, or shall we tell one another about our cape situation?
I feel like we should talk about our capes.
Okay, alright, this is fair. No surprise capes.
I feel like it's, you know, audio podcasts.
Alright, fine, we'll talk and, like, describe things in detail, I guess. paint a word picture for our audience. Alright. I think I'm wearing a cape. I feel like I am flamboyant. It would be remiss of me to not wear a cape.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm probably wearing one, too.
Alright, so we've got capes.
Mm-hmm.
I think, because we have to do a full description of our capes.
Yes.
I think mine's more of a cloak. I think it is a sort of ombre spider silk on the inside, velvet on the outside situation. Mm-hmm. It starts at the hood and about the shoulders in a very pale, like, sort of mourning dove gray, bordering on, like, lavender. And then as it scrolls out inch by inch, it fades to darker and darker purples, edging away from gray until it's, like, bright, like, not wisteria, lilac to dark violet to, like, nearly indigo. And then it fades into, like, a smoky black at the bottom. And I think it's pinned by a silver brooch with, like, a probably an amethyst or some other sort of, like, cut brilliant purple stone in the center. I'm not sure what the shape of the brooch is yet. I feel like it's tied to whatever my title is, whatever, like, my domain in the court is.
Mm-hmm.
But that is my cape, and it's definitely brushing my ankles, if not floor length.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think mine is fairly fancy. I feel like it's like a very gauzy, almost like chiffon like look to it, except maybe even a little bit lighter still. Because magic. Pale green, probably like little flowers and vines. Some embroidered and some like actually
there, like, attached to it. Probably attaches on each side at the, like, straps of whatever dress I'm wearing. And long, probably trails, like, slightly on the ground behind me.
Okay. I feel like that was a tie. I don't know about you.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I should actually look at things. I didn't want to look at them in case I, I didn't want to... Cheat's not the right word, but...
Let it, yeah, let the description sway your choices.
Mm-hmm. So we both offered to wear a cape.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's probably a little over floor length.
Okay. So the other thing on the rubric is whichever character's cape is closest to the floor length without going over. So I get, is that point to me, technically?
I think it does.
Because yours brushes the floor?
Yeah, I guess so. Because if it goes until one of us wins, then yeah, that would, you'd be closer there without going over, so that'd be you.
Okay. I think we both own capes, and I don't, but I don't know the last one, last time I
wore mine. Oh gosh, we do both own them. The last time I wore mine was probably, like, early spring, though, because it's way too hot for a cape right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember the last time I wore mine. So if you concede, I suppose I will take priority first. Mm-hmm. All right. Winner may either be the first to choose from the list of advantages in the following section, or they may choose to start the game with priority. Whichever first, the winner does not select, the loser receives. Okay. Do I want advantage or do I want priority? Let's look at the advantages. Okay. So the advantage, in which way does your character have the upper hand in the battle, which will follow your duel? In most cases, these advantages do not actually give you a mechanical edge, but they provide topics for your characters to leverage when flaunting their superiority. If the player with the better result in the cape rubric chooses first advantage, they pick first from the adjacent options. If not, their opponent picks first. From there, the players alternate, choosing until both players have two. Once an option is chosen, the other players cannot choose it, or for this purposes, both sides of an or statement count as one option. Okay. I think I'll start with priority and let you choose the first advantage.
Okay.
You will have priority for round two, unless someone, I guess, fails at,
penalty. But if we're, penalty. If we're calling a penalty in the first round,
I guess I wouldn't, probably.
It might be, like, narratively flavorful, but, like, it's not gonna work mechanically if no one has any points yet.
Yeah. Let's play the game as intended.
I love that the high ground is just on here.
Look, it's the title.
I you know it is. Have
a high ground available.
And I love the title, too. It's like, I love that this game is just the Star Wars meme.
Give it up, Anakin. I have the high ground.
Mm-hmm. I think I want to take to be your opponent's exact type.
All right. I guess I'm into you or whatever.
Uh-huh. Guess. Now, your constant denial there may or may not be a factor in why we're here in the first place.
I don't know what you're talking about. My denial about anything.
Uh-huh.
I think as the court that is receiving power, that we are in familiar territory. We are in an Unseelie Hall.
Okay.
I know this place a lot better than you do.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm leaning comprehensive intel on your opponent.
Comprehensive intel on your opponent. Interesting.
You can veto it if you don't think it works, but...
No, it's fine. I mean, you would have comprehensive intel on me. We used to date-ish, mm-hmm. whatever fairies call dating.
Mm-hmm.
You would know me very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe you've been keeping tabs on me.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't think I have the element of surprise. Reinforcements on the way doesn't make sense. I have superior fashion to you. I am just so much better dressed.
Sure.
I am flamboyant, after all.
You are. It's true.
All right. Now, we have chosen our advantages. Now it is time to choose our clothing. What is your character's clothing like? Establish two or more details. You may specify items that you are wearing or provide adjectives that describe your overall fashion. Well, I was just going to be in black, but that doesn't work anymore. I need to be fashionable and I need to be flamboyant. Underneath the cloak, I think I'm wearing a beautiful suit, definitely with a cravat and a cravat pin. I think it's in hues of dark purple and silver. Beautiful black boots as well. My character, I think, is a knight, so functional as well as beautiful. Embroidery on the waistcoat and the jacket. I'd be wearing a jacket probably. The cravat, I think, is even edged a little bit in silver. A huge cravat pin that has, like, I think is a garnet so dark that it's gone black. Jewelry, of course, rings on my hands, earrings chased up my ears, like not only the ones on my lobes, but like up the rim. My white hair is usually once let loose long enough to like brush past my shoulders, but it's pulled back into an elaborate updo tonight. Yeah, that sounds correct.
Okay. And I think I have, besides the cape, a dress that is in a little bit of a darker green than like the sheer fabric of the cape. Also probably floor length. Fabric kind of pulls around the feet a little. Hair is like, I'm thinking like golden blonde hair. It's like all pinned up a lot right now. Very like elegant looking in general.
But it's last season's fashion.
Uh-huh. If you say so.
Clearly you're not on the bleeding edge of what is fashionable.
Or is it that like I am like in season, you're in the next season already?
I'm miles ahead of you in your silly, ridiculous fashion. I'm in the future.
Hey, you are taking power right now, or your court anyway, so you know.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. We're moving into your season.
Makes perfect sense. All right. Clothing has been detailed. Now we choose our weapons. Specify and describe it. It must be appropriately matched to the power level of your opponent's weapon. If one player picks the advantage superior weaponry, there must be a meaningful difference in power level, and the player with the advantage reserves the right to ask the opponent to change the weapon in some way. While the relative strength of your weapon will not affect the mechanical outcome of your duel, it provides an advantage that the character with superior weaponry might choose to flaunt through dialogue or motion. So, choose your weapon! I kind of wanted to go magic, but like...
I kind of did too, not gonna lie.
But a sword, you know? A sword.
Swords are also good.
I mean, it could be interesting for a contrast if you wanted to take magic and I could take a sword.
Mm-hmm. I think that could work.
Okay. I think I have a rapier.
Mm-hmm.
I think the blade is made of a black metal, that seems to absorb the light around it. It's cold to the touch. It seems to like take your warmth if you touch the blade. Of course, down to a fine micro point. The hilt is the same color, but it has not quite the same color. It's still black, but it has like a sheen to it, almost opalescent. And I think that the basket and everything are very simple, which contrasts with the flamboyancy of my character. They are dressed to the nines. They are beautifully architected from the sole of their boot to the tips of their ears and the way that their hair falls in every slight movement, but this weapon, there's something slightly unfinished and plain about it. Secure in its...
Interesting.
In the fact that it's not elaborate. Yeah.
I like it.
Thank you.
Hey, and then how do I want to describe magic?
It could be like the way that your magic tends to look. Mm-hmm. Like a color that's associated with it, or a spell, or something. Mm-hmm. Or like a spell that you prefer to use.
I think there's probably like a golden tint to it a little bit. I'm trying not to just say like Tinkerbell's pixie dust, but...
I mean, valid.
But that's what's in my brain at the moment. So yeah, that like gold pixie dust type of effect. Also, probably it's like a very warm feeling to it in general.
Warm, golden, sparkly. Mm-hmm. That fits.
Yep.
That fits very well. Mm-hmm. Okay. Inventory. What interesting items are you carrying on your person? Establish two. This can include fashion accessories, items of utilitarian value, such as a boot knife or an armored pauldron, trinkets from your past, or even your opponent's past, if they agree. Choose two or more items on your person. I'm wearing a pair of cufflinks. They are silver. They are elaborately engraved. There's a chip of like black opal in each of them in an interesting shape. I think you gave them to me.
Ooh, I like that. I was actually going to suggest something from you as well. I was trying to figure out what it is. I think there's like a pin that is worked into my hair right now that I think is like in contrast to like the typical gold color is a little bit more, I don't know if I want to say silver or white gold, but in that like tone area. Probably has like little jewels around along the face of it. I don't think are as dark as the ones that you wear on your own clothing, but are also like still a little bit cooler in tone than what might normally be in my like color palette, I guess, but in a way that somehow still doesn't look out of place or look like it clashes. Mm-hmm. Which, yes, I think was also a gift from you.
It was a gift from me?
Yes.
Gasp. Okay. What other thing do I have on me? I think I have a dagger that goes with my rapier. It is not, like, it's done in the same colors. The blade is still black, not matte black. It has a sheen to it. I think the hilt is done in silver. It definitely has jewels contrasting with the rapier itself. It's at my side. Not hidden, but not on display like the rapier is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and I think I am wearing a gold necklace with like a, it's a locket, I think, that I feel like probably acts as sort of a, I don't know if focus is the word I'm looking for here, but like is linked in some way to some of her magic.
Interesting. I think to contrast the like dark purple and white and silver of my clothing, there is a black lily on my, like, pinned at my chest.
Ooh.
Sort of like basically on my lapel, kind of corsage-y. I think it was a favor from my lady.
Nice. I think where my cape like is attaching to my like the straps on my dress, there are these little, there's like little pins that are kind of holding it there that have these like dark green
gemstones and laid in them.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
Nothing special, just aesthetics.
Hey, that's valid and fair. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to do one last item.
Okay.
A silk handkerchief peeking out of my pocket, my breast pocket. Very plain white silk, embroidered in silver, probably matching the brooch of my cape.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think for my last one, I think I have like something that's almost like a corsage of like probably daisies and some other like very summery flowers on one of my wrists.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you would like to add? Or
I don't think so.
Okay. Then we finally establish the circumstances of our encounter.
Mm-hmm.
For example, an elevator door might open, or one character might turn a corner and incidentally make eye contact with another, or one character may purposefully approach the other from behind, causing them to turn when they hear footsteps. From there, read the play section and choose a move. Determine how the initial contact resolves based on the result of those moves. If you're feeling unsure of what move to start with, you can use one of the pre-established exampled openings. But players are encouraged to design their own opening circumstances and play with original moves if they feel comfortable. For each opening, you'll be asked to choose together if you want to roll a die or answer questions. If you're feeling unsure how to improvise at the beginning, or if you feel that you won't understand your character's approach or motivations until you're immersed in the narrative, or you simply want to introduce an interesting random element to your game, you can choose a die roll. On the other, if you're looking for help integrating your character's approach so that you can work out how you choose your own move, or if you'd prefer not to induce randomness in your game, you may wish to answer the provided questions instead. The circumstances that were given to us in this are the challenge. This opening designates one character as a challenger and the other as a person they challenged. Then the narrative challenged chose the location for the duel, and the challenger approaches them there. The chance encounter. This opening designates one character as the encounterer and the other as someone they encountered by chance. Within the narrative, their meeting place is accidental, and the encounterer stumbles unexpectedly into view of the encountered. And the trap. The opening designates one character as the trapper and the other as someone they have trapped. Within the narrative, the trapper chose the location and tricks the trapped into beginning the duel at a disadvantage. All right.
I feel like we're challenging.
Yeah? You don't want this to start off in, like, maybe me, you leading the party and me chasing you down?
Oh, no, I do like that.
Because, like, I can definitely see it both ways. Like, me approaching you in the middle of the party, like, on the dance floor, like, trading barbs in front of the whole ball.
Mm-hmm.
Or you, like, going out to...
I think I like you chasing me down a bit more.
Yeah. Like, you going out to the balcony to grab some fresh air after talking to this person, and me, like, in a snit chasing after you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's not a chat trap, it's not a chance encounter, because we're kind of making this happen. But it wasn't entirely on purpose kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah, I think I like that.
All right, cool, cool, cool. So, how do we want to do this? Do we want to roll dice, or do we want to ask questions?
Hmm.
Do you want to leave it up to fate?
I guess so.
You do? Okay. All right.
I mean, I'm fine either. Do you want to leave it up to fate?
I'm honestly fine with either. I know it says to, like, design our own opening circumstances, play the original moves. No thoughts, head empty.
Yeah.
So I feel like if we were going to do questions, we could go with the chance encounter one, even though it was sort of a manufactured chance encounter.
Mm-hmm.
With me being the encounter or you being the encountered.
Mm-hmm.
So I could do, I would be fine with answering that question.
Yeah, I think so too.
So the encounterer. Question is, how do you approach the situation? The encountered is, how do you approach the situation? They have options for thrust, feint, and parry. We are going to rock, paper, scissors, shoot, and we'll be back with the answer. Thank you for listening to our character creation episode for our I Have the High Ground game. Tune in next time to actually hear the names of our characters and to see who lays in that fateful first blow. Thank you once again to Jess Levine for reaching out to us and allowing us to play her fantastic game. Get a copy of your very own on her itch.io page, jess from online.itch.io,
and see all her other work on her website, jessfrom.online. Thank you once again to 8ER41 on Pixabay for our intro and outro music. You can find Kelsey at most places on the internet at Islanders Caper and at kelseylincleary.wordpress.com. You can find me at The Invulnerable Tide, including theinvulnerabletide.com. And Just Roll With It can be found at Roll With It AP. All links are in the description. Until next time, if the dice are coming up nat ones or the narrative is throwing you for a loop, don't forget to just roll with it.